Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, there's a black man with black hair. He's got an interstate running through his front yard. You know he thinks he's got it so good. And there's a woman in the kitchen cleaning up the evening slime. And he looks at her and says, hey, darling.
Hour number two. Zolak and Bertrand, Arcand in for Hardy Anzo today. 617-779-0985. Hey, guess what? The NFL's losing with President Trump again.
Wow, really? Shocker.
There's not much I enjoy about Trump, but this I do. Here he is last night talking about the NFL.
Hey, how about the NFL? Look, I don't want to cause controversy.
Right.
You're right, USA is right. I don't want to cause controversy, but how about they pass this stupid thing? You don't have to do this anymore. If you don't respect the flag or if you don't like the country or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. It's okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? It doesn't play. It doesn't play. I actually think in many ways it's worse. I heard this thing that they were so happy, the owners. This commissioner, where this guy comes from, I have no idea. They're paying him $40 million a year. And their ratings are down 20%. But you know why the ratings are down? Yes, the flag. But they're also down because people find politics. In other words, hitting Trump incorrectly, but hitting Trump, they find that to be much tougher, meaner, and more interesting than watching a football game. They actually do. And they're watching the cable networks instead of watching football.
They're watching cable news more than they're watching the NFL now.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
So wait, ripping Trump.
That Sundays are now spent, Sunday afternoons are now spent watching cable news as opposed to watching the football games. Ratings are not down 20%, by the way.
They're definitely not
lie.
Down 20%.
That's inaccurate. That's bullcrap. They're not down 20%.
And they're not down because of the anthem, either. Except for those, you know, those tools down in Rehoboth who had that big jersey burning ceremony. Do you know a single person, Beetle, who's actually stopped watching the NFL because of this?
I do not.
Not one.
Not in my circles.
There's zero.
We have had callers that claim they have stopped because of it, which is, A, you can claim whatever you want. But the ratings are down. They're not down 20%. And they're not at any sort of all-time lows. They've taken a dip from the all-time highs, which I'm not sure were sustainable.
And they're down because of cord cutting. They're down because people consume media in different ways.
Which
they are not down because of this at all.
CBS, just last week, announced that they're going to be transitioning to a streaming platform, and they're going to offer streaming of NFL games and all of that, which, by the way, I believe will now get counted. So you may see an uptick. You may see it go the other way. But this last night proves one thing. If you try to appease President Trump, you will not do so if you are the NFL. You will continue to be his punching bag.
Yep.
He will continue to criticize you. He will continue to harass you. It will not end. He's got a thing for the NFL, and he's not going to stop.
Yeah. And the NFL owners were so gullible, too.
Idiots.
I mean, really. You thought this was going to be it? You thought this one solution that didn't make anyone happy was going to actually get rid of this dark cloud here? And by the way, the anthem thing was pretty much over, okay? There was not much left to do here.
They brought it back up. The owners
brought it back in. I don't know. Maybe not enough people were talking about the NFL. So let's get this anthem thing back out here in the forefront. It's unbelievable how dumb these guys are, considering that they're all multi-billionaires. You know, like, they didn't... Some of them just happened into their money. They just happened to be someone's kid or whatever, or someone's husband, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, like, for them to have, like, the business acumen that they have, and then to go into a situation like this, knowing that it's testy and knowing that there's problems and that there's, you know, a very polarized split here that could get their fans, you know, at each other's throat, and to handle it this way in just such a wishy-washy, dumb way that makes everyone angry, including the President of the United States,
right,
who's never going to stop with this,
never.
Is just dumb. I mean, they're just dumb. I can't believe that this is still going on.
Do you think there is a fear among NFL owners of the president?
Definitely.
Do you think there is?
I think there's a fear and also a respect. They want to make him happy. They want him to be.
I think it's more the latter than the former. Because for all the talk of they fear him. They are him.
They like him.
They give him millions of dollars. They support him with their checkbooks. They support the guy. So you can say they're fearful of him, or they just agree with him. Or they agree with him, and they want to appease him because they like the guy. That might be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's all done out of fear. I don't. But I am going to enjoy him continuing to rip all of you, and rip the NFL owners, and rip your league. Because you made this bet, now you can lie in it.
Yeah.
You were the ones that brought it back up when it was not being discussed. It was not being talked about.
And people weren't even really doing it either. You know, I mean, it wasn't really happening anymore.
By the end of last season, it had pretty much started to dry up.
Yeah. Leave it alone. Really, like, why even make this another thing?
If you're
so worried about polarizing everybody, why bring it back up?
Can I ask a question, by the way, for all the, you know, for all that's been talked about with this? What if the players who did kneel at some point, maybe they did it for one game last year and never did it again, if they are motivated to do it again, what will it have been motivated by?
That's a good question. You know, maybe the president. Maybe.
Or their owners, or their own league, they may be motivated to do it again just to spite the fact that there is now a rule. And I also am curious to see what happens if a player, there's nothing that could stop a player from going out for the anthem week one, and as soon as that anthem starts, taking the knee. I want to see what the penalties are going to be for those teams, because it can't be an individual penalty.
Right.
They're not going to penalize the players. They're going to penalize the team.
Who was the guy who said he'd pay for the, you know, he wouldn't penalize any play? It was the Jets, I think.
Woody Johnson's kid, I want to say, or something along those lines.
Someone said, and they were wrong, because he was like, oh, anybody who does it, I'll pay their fine. And it's like, well, they're not getting fined. You're getting fined. So, yeah, you're going to pay it one way or another.
Yeah, it like, oh, it's Christopher Johnson, right?
Chris Johnson, yeah.
That's who it is. Chris Johnson, who said that he's the chairman and acting owner. So that players who feel the need to protest will not face repercussion from the team. And that, to me, is different than saying, I'll pay their fines.
Right.
Because what he's saying is, even if we take a hit on a fine, we're not going to put you out of a job. We're not going to bench you. We're not going to do those things.
Yeah, we're not going to Kaepernick you, basically.
So what happens? What happens then? Oh, all hell could break loose on this case.
Yeah.
Come September, October.
It very well could.
And by the way, the midterms are coming up, and this whole thing is only going to get louder and is only going to be more critical of the league and the NFL. And now he's calling out Goodell for what he gets paid and for the league paying him that money. This, I mean, I'm going to sit back and enjoy the popcorn and enjoy the show between the NFL and the president. There being a really one-sided public argument right now. I mean, I don't think the NFL has really said much in response. They've done things. Maybe at some point you start hearing an owner speak out. Maybe one of these owners says enough of this already.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, again, that would involve having some sort of sack.
Yeah, it would.
That's going to be a problem.
It would involve not wanting to, you know, it would involve being able to risk maybe your fabulous wealth and fortune and fame and all of that. None of those guys are willing to do that. And again, like I said, a lot of them probably deep down didn't like this agreement. They didn't like that they gave them the option to go back into the locker room. But they said, you know what? We got our players here. It's about 50-50, which is, I feel like, what it was with the owners. I don't think all of them were behind Trump. It seemed like at the owners' meetings, there was pushback from some of the other, I don't know, maybe more progressive owners who are like, listen, we can't do this to our employees. This isn't fair. You know, there's a First Amendment in this country. And the other side was saying, yeah, but, you know, it's America and it's the flag and you should do this because it's right and the president wants us to. And let's just do everything that he says and be patriotic and all that. And I'm sure that this was the compromise that came out of it. And that's the thing, is you can't compromise with Trump. You know, there's no compromising with him. If it's either his way or it isn't, and even if he gets his way, he's still going to pound you for it. You know, there's no winning with him. It's just not, there's no, it's a pointless endeavor. And the fact that they even acknowledged all these things he was saying about him in the first place, I think was their first mistake. Yeah, he's the president. Yeah, it's important what he says. But you don't have to fall in line with him. He's not part of the NFL. You know, and you weren't losing ratings because of this. You were losing ratings for very basic, obvious cable-cutting reasons. And they should have known that, and they should have been confident in that, and they weren't.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on this? And also, Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving, everything that we discussed earlier in the NBA. We'll get to those calls as well next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One open phone line you want to grab at 617-779-0985. Greg is in Lincoln, Rhode Island on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
You know, Colin Coward calling Kyrie a flake is so stupid because Kyrie didn't choose Boston. You know, this was a prearranged marriage, and next summer is his first chance to choose his own destination for the first time in his pro career. You know, and we may think, oh, you know, why wouldn't he love Boston? You know, it's like if we prearranged a marriage between Arkin and Jennifer Lawrence, everyone would look at it and say, well, why wouldn't he love being married to Jennifer Lawrence? But he may think she's a flake. Who knows? But to assume that, you know, he has something wrong with him because he doesn't love Boston, that's just ridiculous.
Okay, that's not exactly what his point was, I think. I think it was more along the lines of what is there that is better than Boston in
right.
a place like New York?
What's a better situation?
What's a better basketball situation? What's a better team? What's a better choice? If your focus is having a good coach, having a good GM, stable ownership, having a good winning team, young talent that is coming up,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be on the team for a few years, other guys to play with, the commitment to keep upgrading, all of those things. What's a better run operation?
There's not many in the NBA. But maybe that's not what he's looking for, as he made in a weird analogy to me dating Jennifer Lawrence, I guess.
Well, yay or nay on Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh, definite yay, I would say. Certainly. I mean, at least I don't know her personally. Seems like she's a little much sometimes, you know? Seems like she's always trying to be like that normal, goofy girl who's just whatever, and I bet that would be kind of tiring, but I'd put up with it, you know? I think we all would, right?
You'd tolerate her?
We'd tolerate Jennifer Lawrence.
That's kind of you.
That's big of me, I think, you know?
Kind of you.
Man of the people over here.
And again, he's saying that if that is the situation, a place like New York, what's the upside there? What is? What's the upside to a place like Boston?
The upside? I mean, you know, the same. The
it's
history.
New York, and I like it. That's why.
Yeah.
Again, and this is why I would say to Colin Coward,
I want to live there.
You could say this about anybody in the league. You could say this about a lot of players in that league.
Mm-hmm.
That, and this is why historically we've always said, prior to Al Horford signing and prior to Gordon Hayward signing, hey, this town, this team, this franchise, this should be a good option for players. But it's an indictment of the league why they weren't choosing it for so long.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, you know, an issue that I think comes up with players in the Celtics' past. Like, you think about a guy like Paul Pierce, for example, who came from Los Angeles and came to Boston and decided he loved it here. And he wanted to be here in the good times and the bad times, and he repped Boston really hard and then ended up having it all pay off for him in the end. And you look at stories like that and you think,
I don't know that he loved it that much, considering before they put together the new big three. He did that Boston Globe story where he said that if it didn't change, he wanted out.
That's true.
Right? And I think it was Jackie McMullen's story.
And yeah, and after that 2006 season, I wouldn't have blamed him. But he was here for a long time, and he went through a lot here. And obviously, you know, when it all sort of paid off in the end, there was this idea that, yeah, this guy is, you know, a lifelong Celtic, even though he wasn't technically. And I don't know.
Close
I think
enough.
Celtics fans kind of get, you know, they fall in love with that sort of thing. You start thinking about a guy in a certain way, like the face of the franchise, or, you know, if only you were here for the playoffs, we might have actually tested Golden State in the finals for Kyrie Irving. And you just think, yeah, we like him. We want him here. Why shouldn't he want to be here? What else could he want? And a team like the Knicks, you look at and think, well, what the hell basketball reason is there to go to New York? And there isn't one, but it's New York, and that's the reason.
Let's go to Todd in the car on the NFL. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Donald Trump is never going to let the NFL off the hook. The guy is petty, the guy is vengeful, and the guy owns in the USFL. I'm saying this is a 30-year vendetta this guy's got against the NFL, and he's going to keep it rolling as long as he can.
I totally agree, and I think that's part of this story that is underreported.
Big part of it, yeah.
It's a big part. It's not about the actual anthem. It's about the fact that there's an itch to scratch about the NFL. They didn't let him in. He had the USFL, and later on, remember when he wanted to buy the Bills?
Yes.
When that was part of it, too?
Did not happen.
And they blocked him then. Mm-hmm. They didn't want anything to do with him then, and that is what this ultimately comes down to.
What was his team? The New Jersey somethings?
Generals?
The Generals, yeah. In the USFL. It seems like a really long time ago. It actually wasn't. That was like the 80s with the USFL, right?
Well, that went the way of like Trump Airlines and Trump Casinos and Trump everything.
Trump Steaks.
Trump Magazine.
Trump Vodka.
All those things.
Yeah.
Now defunct. John in Medfield. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to add an extra comment around the NFL, and you specifically brought up having popcorn and watching this all unfold. What's the extra nuance is that Chris Johnson, what is his father, Woody?
Yes.
Is now the ambassador to Ireland or the UK on behalf of Trump because he's one of the biggest donors in the NFL, amongst the NFL owners. So it's going to add an extra element, which should make it priceless.
Are you sure that's why? Are you sure it's not because Woody Johnson's really qualified to be the ambassador to the UK? Are you sure that's not the real reason there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the real reason is that he donated $25 million and is worth $12 billion. But I'm just a guessing.
All right.
Could be.
We'll take your word for it, John.
You present a convincing thesis there, I would say. I mean, yeah, that was certainly one of... Listen, all things considered, that was probably one of his better picks. Woody Johnson hasn't had to resign in disgrace yet, so, you know, good for him.
How much is he spending on security details?
I don't know.
A door... Or anything else.
How much does his Airbnb cost?
No, listen.
Over in D.C.
They've given millions. I mean, he mentions Woody Johnson getting himself an ambassadorship. I mean, you go down the list, even Shad Khan, who's a guy who's been critical, right?
Yeah.
He gave Trump $1 million. He handed over $1 million. Daniel Snyder forked over $1 million. Jerry Jones gave $1 million. Woody Johnson gave $1 million at the start. Ed Glazer with the Tampa Bay Bucks gave $250,000. He was a lot less. He's a little cheap. You know, he should have given his full million. Stan Kroenke with the Rams gave $1 million. The Patriots ownership gave $1 million. NFL Ventures kicked in a couple $100,000. They give the guy money.
Yeah.
They fund him. They give him money. They're on his side. And now he's going to continue to kick the crap out of them. I am. I'm going to sit back and enjoy. I'm going to sit back and watch this and say, what did you think was going to happen? Derek's in Boston. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to talk about Kyrie Irving, my man.
Okay.
All right, so basically I want to talk about how the potential team up with Jimmy Butler. Basically, obviously Boston doesn't have the cap space. I want to know what you guys' opinions is real quick on what you think possible situations would be in that.
To get Jimmy Butler?
No, I do not want Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I don't either.
Oh, okay. What's the question then?
Basically, what is the possibilities that of Jimmy Butler? I kind of wanted to know if he was going to, if Kyrie is serious about leaving, because obviously his next option to leave ever is next year. So I basically wanted to know what his ideas was, if you guys had any input on that.
Well, I'll say this. I think Butler's gone out of Minnesota. There's clearly a total disconnect there. He walked into that situation, didn't get along with anybody, and had, you know, a pretty rough first year there. So I would imagine he's done in Minnesota. As far as are him and Kyrie going to team up, I'll be honest with you, Beal, I don't think so. I feel like a lot of these team ups get talked about, and you know they go to each other's weddings or they hang out in the off season down in Aruba or whatever, and they say, "Hey, it would be really cool if we played together." But then 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. Like the banana boat thing never really happened. Like
they go to
some
Aruba?
Of those guys,
is that where they go?
I don't know. Isn't that where the banana boat thing was? Weren't they down in Aruba for that?
I feel like they were in a place that was far more exclusive than that.
Than Aruba?
Yeah.
I've never been to Aruba, so
I
couldn't
tell.
Oh, really?
It's great. I love it. It's my favorite place on this planet.
I want to say Bahamas, but I don't know.
could have been the Bahamas, wherever they were. I'm not as well-versed on my tropical destinations as you are, Beetle, but I feel like there's, you know, certainly an idea that, yeah, these guys talk and they all want to play together and they all discuss going and joining these super teams, but most of the time it doesn't happen. It really doesn't. You know, Carmelo and Paul George going to Oklahoma City was sort of a rare instance of that sort of thing. Even LeBron going back to Cleveland wasn't necessarily a super team situation. It's just, it's not that common.
They're in the Bahamas.
Okay.
The banana boat picture was in the Bahamas.
Iconic, iconic photograph, by the way.
What a picture. What a picture. I forgot that that Gabrielle Union was at the front. Dwayne Wade's wife.
Oh, really?
At the time. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot that she was on the banana boat.
She was on the banana boat. She was at the front of the banana boat.
Okay.
And then it was D. Wade, Chris Paul, and LeBron. The next three on the banana boat.
I think you want to be
Melo wasn't on it?
No.
Melo wasn't there?
Melo was part of that crew.
I'm looking at the picture, the actual picture.
Sure, that's Melo, not Gabrielle
Union? He was
Union?
There. Wasn't he there, but not in the banana boat picture?
Maybe he took the picture.
No, yeah, there was another picture where they were all together on that trip. I don't know if there's one with all of them on the actual banana boat together. You'd have to look that, but I know that you're right, because he was on that trip.
I don't see it, man.
I see Wade, Paul, LeBron. Yeah, there's Gabrielle Union. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Carmelo.
But he was
wasn't
there, but
it.
He was on the trip, so he probably took the photo, is how that happened.
Makes sense.
How all that went down. The banana boat team. 617-779-0985. We have to discuss a letter that has emerged, thanks to Ryan Leaf, that Hunter S. Thompson wrote to Jim Irsay.
Oh, yeah.
Owner of the Indianapolis Colts. We will read that letter to you next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
New report from the Boston Herald saying that Celtics guard Marcus Smart is both hurt and disgusted that the Seas have not contacted him yet with an offer. Smart, a restricted free agent, has gotten a qualifying offer worth right around $6 million. Any other teams willing to do so can present an offer sheet to Smart, and then the Celtics have a chance to match that. So far, that has not happened. The Celtics open up summer league play tonight in Las Vegas against the 76ers. First-round pick Robert Williams was officially signed by the team yesterday. He is expected to play tonight. Red Sox are back to work in the first of a three-game series with the Royals tonight in Kansas City. The Royals floundering, 36 games under 500. They've lost 12 of their last 13 home games. Chris Sale getting the start against Jason Hamill, first pitch at 8:15. Yankees are also in action tonight. They're a full game back in the American League East behind the Red Sox. They will be in Toronto to open up a series with the Blue Jays. World Cup resuming today. France all over Uruguay. That one right now in the 73rd minute. France leading by a score of 2-0. And Brazil and Belgium will kick off at 2 o'clock. Wimbledon yesterday, defending champion Garbine Muguruza eliminated in the second round. Simona Halep and Rafael Nadal each advanced. Roger Federer in action today. Golf round two of the Greenbrier. Anirban Lahiri, your leader, he is at 10 under par. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Can't Stop Moving, the official mover of 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Boston's top rated when it comes to moving your home or office. Get a free quote at can'tstopmoving.com. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at noon.
Lolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Christian Arcand in today for Zoe and Hardy. You're on Zolak and Bertrand on this Friday, 617-779-0985. You're a Hunter S. Thompson fan? Who isn't, right?
Sure.
Who isn't? He once upon a time wrote a letter to Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts. He wrote him a letter prior to the 1998 NFL draft. This goes back 20 years.
98.
This was posted on Ryan Leaf's Instagram.
Okay.
Ryan Leaf wrote, "So, I received this letter last week. It's written by Hunter S. Thompson to Colts owner Jim Irsay in 1998, a month before the NFL draft. He said, this is unbelievable, hysterical, and ludicrous. It's dated March 14th, 1998, to Jim Irsay of the Indianapolis Colts. Dear James, in response to your addled request for a quick $30 million loan to secure the services of the Manning kid, I have to say no at this time. But the Leaf boy is another matter. He looks strong, and strong is underlined. And Manning doesn't. Or at least not strong enough to handle that, quote, welcome to the NFL business for 2 years without a world-class offensive line. How are you fixed at left tackle, at left offensive tackle, the next few years, James? Think about it. You don't want a China doll back there with that freak sap come when that freak sap comes crashing in.
Man, simpler time, 98, wasn't it?
Okay, let me know if you need some money for Leaf. I expect to be very rich when this debt movie comes out. Your faithful consultant, Hunter.
That's a great letter.
So, given that it was written by Hunter S. Thompson, is this a complete joke? Like, he didn't ask him for a loan, right?
I doubt it.
Actually responding to a request.
Hunter S. Thompson also had like an 8-ball of Coke for breakfast every morning.
Like
so
he's just sending him
maybe,
a funny
maybe
letter.
He believed that that was actually the case.
That's what I look at.
Yeah.
But he was in on Leaf and not on Manning. I bet there's a lot of people that were in on Leaf and not on Manning.
Sure.
Right? There were probably people that were in on Rick Meyer as opposed to being in on Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah. That 98 draft was a monster, by the way. Manning, Randy Moss, Charles Woodson. Takeo Spikes, Fred Taylor. I mean, there was a lot of big studs that came out in that draft. And then there was a lot of misses, too, like Ryan Leaf and Curtis Enos.
Ooh,
and, you know,
Ryan Leaf's a bad one. But Curtis Enos, Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Penn State.
Chicago Bears. Gonna change the Bears' fortunes. And he stunk. Enos stunk.
Who else was in that draft? 98.
Keith Brooking.
I don't remember him.
Kyle Turley.
I remember that was the year the Patriots got to Bucky Jones.
Samari Roll, Patrick Surtain, both second-round picks. Leonard Little in the third round before he got busted selling on... Didn't he get busted with, like, a truck full of drugs? Didn't Leonard Little have, like, his entire car was just, like, packed to the gills with weed? I might be wrong.
I thought he had, like, a DUI with, like, a fatality.
Was that him? Maybe it was.
Little, yeah.
Yeah, he had a manslaughter conviction.
That's right.
Crashed and killed someone in St. Louis.
Okay.
That was a Robert Edwards year, right? That wasn't Tabucky, was it? Or was
I
it
think,
both?
I think 98 was Tabucky Jones, wasn't it?
Patriots, Robert was Edwards, it? First round.
What pick?
18th, and then Tabucky at 22nd.
Oh, okay. So
they had two first-round picks.
It was both of them. They had two guys.
That was when Robert was out there with the stopwatch in Syracuse, right?
That's right.
Tabucky Jones.
That's the year. Checking out Tabucky Jones.
They took Edwards instead of Moss. They could have had Moss.
They could have. But Edwards was a good pick. It's a good pick had it not been for the injury.
Sure, until he decided to play some beach football.
I mean, it wasn't like he decided. That was the NFL.
Mm.
It was a sanctioned NFL event that he played in.
That was so stupid.
I mean, that's not like, oh, in the offseason he was fooling around on the beach. No, he was at the Pro Bowl. Right?
Yeah.
He was at the Pro Bowl playing in a beach football game that was a activity that the NFL put together. 617-779-0985. Funny letter, though.
That's a great letter.
Of course, Irsay is friends with him.
Right.
Of course.
They definitely did drugs together.
Of course they did.
100%.
Hey, fired up.
Hey, Hunter. You going out tonight? Hey.
In Vegas, you know? Irsay's in the bathtub. Hunter standing over him with the radio.
I bet that was a hell of a party with Irsay being 20 years younger without all that hard living he had done after 1998.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that was a party. Irsay, Hunter S. Thompson, the two of them together, magic. Like to be a fly on the wall in that room.
That's probably a whole weekend. You know how people say, like, oh, they pulled an all-nighter? They pulled an all-weekend.
But, the weeks and on benders, like long 10-day benders. Bob is in Boston. Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Listen, I've been listening to the program. I'm driving to Maine to a wedding, and I think, Arkan, you said that Miss Kneeling has no effect on the National Football League. Is that what you said?
No effect on the actual ratings drop. Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You do realize that it's not just millionaires, that a great majority of the country agrees with President Trump.
A great majority?
A great majority.
I would say it's about 50-50 at best, 70, Bob.
70% of the country agree that kneeling for the national anthem is wrong. And I don't care that they keep saying that they're, and I agree.
Where you get that number, Bob? Where's the 70% number?
Look at the polls. You live in Massachusetts.
53%.
53%. Beatles just said 53%. That's not 70. That's just over 50%. That's not a vast majority.
Well, how come when you talk about it, you make it sound like it's just rich people who agree with him?
I didn't say it was just rich people who agree with him. I was talking about those people in Rehoboth who burned their jerseys. They weren't all rich people.
They were not rich.
What he said was millionaires and owners, and that's why, because they contributed. The majority of the country don't care about the politics or anything else that the athletes are protesting. If they're protesting police brutality, let them go to Chicago and protest the city of Chicago for what's going on there, if they really cared.
Okay, so if the Chicago Bears... Hey, wait, Bob, hold on. If the Chicago Bears did that in Chicago at a Chicago Bears football game, you'd think that's okay?
Excuse me?
If the Chicago Bears did that in Chicago at a Chicago Bears football game and knelt for police brutality, that would be okay?
I think if these athletes really cared about all of this that they're pretending to, they would be doing something about it, not kneeling for the national anthem. They would be going to these communities. They would
do a little research, please, Bob. You're killing me here. You're absolutely killing me.
He swore we had to let him go.
Guys are absolutely doing that. They're in their communities. They're forfeiting their entire freaking salaries to put towards this. Colin Kaepernick has done a ton of work. I mean, listen, you might not like the guy, but you can't say he doesn't know what he's doing or that he's just, you know, they have no idea what they're protesting. If you listen to what they have to say, Brandon Cooks, for example, okay? He knelt last year. Brandon Cooks' parents are both Green Berets. He was not protesting the military. He told you exactly what he was doing it for, the exact reasons why. And people like Bob just don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it.
Because
it ruins their worldview.
It's not convenient for him.
Right.
It's not convenient for him.
Sheesh.
It's more convenient to say that they do nothing, that they are pretending, they do nothing in their communities, that they are not actually fighting for these causes outside of their life in football. It's more convenient to make it about something it's not about. The military, it's more convenient to say they're pretending and not actually doing it.
Sure.
It's just convenient.
Of course. Wasn't expecting to yell and scream today, but here we are. You know, it's just, sometimes these things happen.
So the poll number is 53%.
53%, the vast majority.
53%, no, 53% believe it's never okay to kneel.
Okay.
That does not mean that 53% are then turning off the NFL.
They're not watching the games.
Those are not the same things.
At all. At all. It's not happening that
way. See, I think it might have a slight impact. I don't think it's the impact.
If there's any impact at all, it is marginal.
I think there's to say there is zero impact would be wrong. There is a slight impact. It's one of many reasons. There are much bigger reasons why the ratings are down.
I mean, honestly, I don't even think it's marginal. The people who are the most upset about it are also the biggest football fans. They're not stopping. Dallas, you think down in Dallas they're going to stop watching the Cowboys because of this?
No.
Of course not. You know, it's just, it's not happening that way. And you could say, oh, well, there's people who aren't watching because of the head injuries, or they're not watching because of the way that people are, you know, so upset about the domestic violence and Jameis Winston and Greg Hardy and all these other things, which, by the way, are a million times worse than a bunch of guys kneeling down during a song before a football game.
These
are real crimes.
You see
here.
What you did, Arcan?
What
just
did I
lit
do?
The phones on fire.
Good.
The phones are now on fire.
Bring them
they're
on.
Burning up. Bring them on, says Arcan.
Here till 2.
What's going on? Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think if these athletes really cared about all of this that they're pretending to, they would be doing something about it, not kneeling for the national anthem. They would be going to these communities. They would be trying to help them.
Jackass, they're doing that!
Hey, you fired up?
You are fired up.
Yeah, I cooled off a little bit during the break, but I feel that just brought me right back. It's a patriotic music, Beatle, you know?
Yeah, 617-779-0985. You lit the phones on fire.
Good.
Like pouring gasoline all over them and then striking the match. Scott's in Connecticut. Hi, Scott.
I got another match for you.
Okay.
Okay, so the guy that was talking gibberish before the break, I'll tell you, I served in the military for 6 years. I have a lot of friends, clearly, who have served in the military. We all laugh about this. This is not disrespect to the flag. It's not disrespect to the military. When it first started, Colin Kaepernick actually got consulted by a vet.
That's right.
And the vet said, don't sit. You know what? Take a knee and show respect. When you go to church, do you kneel? Does that mean you're showing disrespect to God when you kneel? No. Kneeling is a show of respect. I don't know what any of these other people are talking about. I don't know what Trump is talking about. But as a military vet and a bunch of military vets that I can speak for, we don't have any problem with it.
Well, thank you for that. And I'll say this. You know, I have military in my family. I have military friends. And I certainly take their feelings into account when I talk about these things, especially on the air. For the most part, most people I talk to don't care about this at all. You know, military, they care about going in, getting out, coming back home to their families. It doesn't matter to them what a bunch of football players do before a football game while a song's playing, which really isn't about the military in the first place. That's sort of how I look at it. I know there's probably some people, you know, veterans calling right now disagree with me who are going to say, no, this is how I feel, and that's fine. Everybody's entitled to feel the way that they feel about it. I just don't think that anyone, it is America after all, and, you know, one of the things that people fought for was the right to express themselves. Be it before a football game or pretty much anywhere. And that's what these guys are doing. It's nonviolent. It's not blocking a highway. It's taking a knee before a football game while the anthem's playing. That's it. If you have such a problem with that, you know, just reexamine what you think is okay for protest, if anything.
Dan is in Salem. Hey, Dan.
Hey. Yeah, it's just a couple ironies, right? So, like, a lot of these guys calling in complaining about the guys kneeling are the same kind of guys that, you know, have like the don't tread on me stickers
right.
Or like the 10 and 2 constitutionalists, and they're all worried about the government and they protest it in their own way. But they don't want to let anybody else sort of have their own, you know, protest against the government's institutions. And that's being hypocritical and that's unacceptable. The other thing is these guys who say, oh, well, why don't these athletes, if they really cared, why don't they do something? And it's sort of like, well, if going from making millions of dollars to not having a job and also starting a national conversation about police brutality and, you know, unlawful killings of young black people by the police, if that doesn't qualify as doing something, then I really don't know what is. You know, a lot of these guys, they sound just like the sort of Northern Ireland unionists when they make them take down the Union Jack. And just like that former veteran, you know, the former army guy or whoever we just called in, you know, the British in England feel the same way about that. It's sort of like, who cares about a flag, you know? And if that's really, you know, there's a lot more important things going on in the world, and that's all I really had to say.
All right, Dan, appreciate the call.
It's a good call.
Now we're into debating the anthem itself,
sure,
the kneeling and the not kneeling, when we just wanted to say the owners got the crap kicked out,
yeah,
of them verbally again last night by Trump, and that's what's going to continue for them.
And they deserved it, you know, for trying to kowtow to him in the first place. And they were stupid for thinking that they could ever cut a deal that would satisfy him.
But we do have two more calls waiting on it. We're going to get to these two calls, and we're moving off of this.
Okay.
Because we're not doing this the rest of the show. We're not doing it.
Fine.
But I appreciate people holding and wanting to talk about it. Sebastian's in the car.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Bash.
What's up?
So I became a citizen of the United States a couple years ago, and they make you take a test, the United States History and Civics test. And the only thing they want you to know about the flag and what it represents is the 50 states for the 50 stars and the 13 original colonies for the 13 red and white stripes that are on there.
Right.
It's not for the police. It's not for the president. It's not for the military. So anyone who thinks it's disrespectful is just wrong, plain wrong. And trust me, a lot of American citizens couldn't even pass that test. It's one of the hardest tests, and it's oral. So you can't, you know, write it down best out of four with the 20, with a A, B, C, or D question. You have to speak it. So that's just my take, guys. That's the truth. And I just want to let everyone know that.
So wait, Sebastian, is the whole test basically like history questions? Because I probably would do very badly on that test.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, when, yeah, just stuff like that. You know, when was the Civil War? When did it end? You know, simple things like that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people really wouldn't know. It's, you got to get, I think,
when did the Patriots draft Tom Brady? I think was probably in there.
Yeah, what number overall pick was he?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Of course.
All right, Sebastian.
Thanks, Sebastian.
I think it's stuff like who was the first president.
Yeah.
You know, what are the, I've read these before. You can look them up. What's the, what's the first 10 amendments of the Constitution? Or, you know, there's all kinds of weird stuff in there.
Okay. I could get to, like, the first two. I don't know what the Third Amendment is. You know what the Third Amendment is?
No, not what they are, but they're looking for you to say, oh, it's the Bill of Rights, or they're looking for things.
Oh, not what, yeah, which amendment,
yeah, no,
means
no,
what.
They're not,
okay,
looking at you to name them.
Whew, thank God.
Things like that.
Imagine if they made you, like, reapply every 10 years to stay in America.
Yeah, I mean, who are your current, like, senators?
Okay.
Right?
I know
for
one of
state?
Them. Yeah.
What do you mean you know one of them?
No, one of them.
You don't know who the two senators are for the state of Massachusetts?
Arcan. I know one of them is Warren.
Yeah, and you can't come up with the other one? There's only two of them.
And the other one's that guy. what's his name? I can't think of his name. I can picture him, but I can't think of his name. Oh, this is really helping my political opinions right now, isn't it?
Oh, man.
What the hell is his name? I can see his face. I can hear his voice, and I can't think of his name.
What if I give you his initials?
Yeah, go ahead.
E.M.
Ed Markey.
There you go.
I knew that.
There you go. Wow.
I knew Warren. I couldn't think of Markey. There you go.
One more. Nick in Winthrop. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on?
What's
hey,
up?
So I'd like to preface it by saying I don't have an issue with him kneeling.
Okay.
My biggest issue is the gentleman that called and started blabbing on about Chicago and whatnot. People don't actually talk about the issue anymore. It always gets deflected. So he didn't actually talk about the issue. He just went to something completely separate that has nothing to do with it. No one listens to each other. That's the problem. Everyone has an ideal situation in their head. This is how it is. No one talks. No one listens. This is yelling over each other. And as far as the national anthem, you know, and then the NFL being patriotic, the military pays them to do that. It's a recruiting technique.
It's true. The Pentagon pays lots of money to the NFL in order to do these things.
So people blindly follow it, saying, oh, the NFL is patriotic, I'm patriotic, I'm going to do this, and this is the right thing to do. It's just that people don't really know, and it's kind of bothersome. And no one listens to each other anymore.
I would say, Nick, at least the caller from a few minutes ago, last segment, at least he acknowledged that the issues being protested are not the military and the United States of America.
Sure.
Right? He at least acknowledged what some of the issues are that players are upset about, which is more than a lot of people would
do. Yeah, on that side, to be sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course. That was sort of implied.
And he basically admitted that he doesn't care about that. You know? Like, yeah, that's what they're doing, but, you know, most people watching the games don't care about that. Well, not necessarily. Maybe you could say the majority of them haven't been subject to police brutality or whatever it is. I mean, really, we don't have to go this far down the rabbit hole, but, you know.
But here we are.
To assume that everybody is on one side of this or the other is ridiculous. People are split. It's just about 50-50. The idea that, you know, because Trump says something, that means everybody agrees with it is totally wrong. And for the NFL and the owners to kowtow to that side, I thought was very short-sighted, especially considering the makeup of their league. You know, I mean, let's be honest here. It's a bunch of rich old white guys and a bunch of mostly black guys working for them. And that, I think, creates a dynamic that is uncomfortable. I mean, it's just uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Noontime hour is here. There's a report out today that Kyrie Irving nearly got out of Cleveland after winning an NBA title there. After winning with LeBron, beating the Cavaliers in 2016, he almost forced his way out at offseason. That's according to, well, I'll tell you who it's according to and play some audio for you of that report coming up in 90 seconds.